Justin?
Yep, I'm here.
Ironically, my son and daughter-in-law are Justin and Jennifer. And then Andy Swanson, are you there?
Yes.
All right, thank you. All right, I think it's 4 o'clock. We will get this meeting started. Given that the unique circumstances, we will go through our usual roll call vote for attendance.
McGill.
Here.
Brecky.
Here.
Neubauer.
Here.
Winfrey.
Here.
Schneider, absent.
Okay, thank you. In front of you all, Randy, do you have a copy of the agenda?
I do.
Okay. Do I hear any additions or subtractions to the agenda? If not, it will stand as submitted. Minutes from the previous meeting, have you been able to look at the minutes from the previous meeting, board members?
Yes.
Any additions or changes? Hearing none.
Motion to accept the minutes.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Same sign. Very good. All right, moving on. Also, the next thing on the agenda is the findings of fact from the previous meeting. Board members, have you had an opportunity to look at those?
Yes.
If so, do I hear any additions or subtractions to them?
Motion to accept the findings of fact as written.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. All right, this is a little unique meeting due to the telephone and due to the situation, but I'll mention how we're going to run it. First thing is we will have the staff give their first off, let me say we'll open up to any comments to anyone listening if they want to make any comments about anything that's not on tonight's agenda. If there are any of those, if not, then we'll move on to our CUPs that we have in front of us and the business at hand. I'll ask what we'll do is we'll give the staff the opportunity to present the case, and then after that we'll ask for any comments from the applicants or those representing the applicants, and if there's rebuttal, we'll go through that, and then we'll move on and we'll debate the issue and make a decision as we're sitting here. So with that in mind, also I would ask, this, like I said, it's a little unique, but if you have comments, let's try to keep them to 10 minutes if possible so we can keep the meeting moving along. Along those same lines also, when you speak, I think we've got everybody on the line and there's nobody in the building except for right now, except for the staff and the board, but just make your name clear so that we've got it for the record. Yes, also your address too, please. Moving on to that, then I'll ask if there's any comments on anything that's been that is not on tonight's agenda. Hearing none, we'll move on down to hearings, and the first one on the docket is CUP 01-20, Windstream Broadband Communications. Marcus.
Good evening, board. In front of you is the presentation for CUP 01-20 Windstream Communications Tower. The applicant was Ashley Miller, who is a representative from Flex, which is consulting for Windstream. The property location is 70064 320th Street in Collins, Iowa, and the property owner is Donald and Lisa Moody. So the nature of this request is for the installation of a 105-foot communications tower to supply broadband internet to the area. This will be done through 4 Wi-Fi antenna that will be at each cardinal direction on top at the height of 105 feet. So here's the vicinity map. Collins city limits falls roughly about right there, and this is the Landis co-op. Can't see it here because the aerial is a little old, but there are two large grain storage bins right here now. There's an up close of the proposed site with the red star indicating approximately where that utility pole or the communications tower will go.
Marcus, what does the green signify?
That's the zoning of A2. That's where land is. It's, I had the zoning layer on when I took the screenshot. Agribusiness, yeah.
Excuse me. Can everyone hear what's going on all right?
It's a little soft for Randy to hear.
Okay.
Not sure how the other ones are doing.
Talk yeah, it's a little hard to hear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. We'll try to pick it up. Thank you. Yeah, you.
Did someone just join the meeting?
Maybe another Flex.
Yeah, that should be Chris Burnett with Flex.
Yeah.
Joining. Oh, another Flex. Chris Burnett.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is Chris.
Good. All right.
It's very easy for me, and I'm assuming the others, to hear if somebody's on the phone. Is it possible for just to have a phone that mic near?
We just moved that around. Is this better, Randy?
Can you hear better now?
Can you hear me though, Randy?
Yeah.
Okay, we moved some things around, so that should be better. So, all right, and then here you can see there is no floodplain on the proposed parcel. So there is already a gate at the proposed access point. This access point has been okayed by the Iowa DOT. There's written record for that. These are the two grain bins to the west of the proposed site. Looking over that gate, this will be approximately where the access will be located, coming back here, and then the tower will be approximately right there. And this is actually on the property facing towards the tower location, which again would be right here. They do have an area for some livestock on the property to the on like the eastern edge of that. There's their existing barn and then the existing dwelling, which is northwest of the proposed building site or the tower site. So here's the site plan. There's that access road shown, and then right here is where the tower and like the H frame for the components for shown a little bit better here. Might be a little hard to make out, but every 25 feet they're going to put in access markers because they're not the property owner doesn't want gravel on there as the access, so they're going to put markers on the north and south side of the access every 25 feet to show where when they do need to bring their vehicles on the property where to drive so that they're not where they're not supposed to be. Then there are some elevation drawings showing how to look. There's your tower and then the H frame, which is 5x6. And that'll have all the communications components attached to it there. Drawings of the Wi-Fi antenna. All right, we're getting the standards of approval now. Compatibility. The proposed site is adjacent to the Landis Cooperative, and the proposed structure will likely blend into the neighboring uses. There are utility poles along Highway 69 there, and then with the cooperative use just to the west there, it'll blend in. As far as transition goes, the minimum setback requirement for the tower is 50% or 52.5 feet in this case. The tower will be visible from US 65, and the proposed structure will meet the other required setbacks of 200 feet from the right-of-way and the 52.5 feet from all of the property lines, as you can see in that chart there. As far as traffic, this in and of itself isn't proposed to increase any traffic in the area. Highway 65 does have an average daily traffic count of 1,640 from a 2015 Iowa DOT traffic count. As far as parking and loading goes, during installation, everything will take place on the property. There won't be any parking or storage on the right-of-way. And they have delineated where the access drive is, as well as where the parking area would be next to the tower. There are no signs or lighting proposed. This tower is not high enough for the FAA to require any lighting. Environmental impact to the site is anticipated to be limited. As far as analysis, conclude that all the above development criteria will be met. It must be recommend approval of the application unless it concludes that if completed as proposed, there's a strong probability the development will not meet one of these, or will meet one of these which are negative, the not adequately safeguarding the health, impair adequate supply of light or air, unduly increase congestion on the roads, diminish or impair property values, or not be in accord with the intent of the C2C plan. Here are the questions that we asked from the interagency review team to Flex and Windstream. They did provide responses to all of our questions. If any of those want to discuss any further, we can go over that. Environmental health had no concerns about the CUP, the existing house on the parcel has a septic system that is located west of the house and the water well east of the garage. Neither will be impacted. Public notice was mailed on February 19th. There was no comments from that time until now from the public. And the Planning and Zoning Commission on their March 4th meeting recommended approval of the conditional use permit for Windstream Broadband Communications Tower Utility Pole CUP01-20 with the following conditions: that the written access and utility easement will be recorded with the Story County Recorder prior to the issuance of a zoning permit for the communications tower. And then the second one was actually already met with those access markers, but those were the initial conditions that were put forward. During that meeting, Kathy Menz had asked if this was the best location, just given the fact of where Landis sits and if those bins would cause any problems for the signal. Jennifer Jackson was here during that meeting and provided information on that, stated that they'd, throughout all the research, this was the best location for it. Kathy Menz was glad, though, that access was being brought to the area. Some points to consider. The applicant addressed the need for this broadband utility pole. The utility pole helps support the federal initiative to provide broadband access to rural customers. The communications tower utility pole will be compatible with the surrounding landscape, and the traffic impact will be limited with no environmental impacts expected. So based on that, Planning and Zoning did recommend approval with conditions with a 6-0 vote at the March 4th meeting. And with that, the Board of Adjustment can choose from any of these four, with Planning and Zoning Commission recommending option two. The Story County Board of Adjustment recommends approval of the conditional use permit for Windstream Communications Tower as put forth in case CUP 01-20 with conditions.
Board, any questions?
One question, Marcus. The setback is only 50% of the tower. Is that correct?
So it is only 50% of the tower on the property lines that don't have any residential.
Okay.
Any other? Yeah. So okay. It gets a little weird there. There's 200 feet minimum from the right of way, but then the 52.5 on the.
Okay. I just feel like we've seen. No, it weren't 50%.
Right. So right here, these two have to be at least 52.5 feet, these two on this side and this side.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions? Any comments from the individuals from Flex?
Not at this time.
Okay. Okay, board. With that, I think we will, if there are no other comments, I think we'll close the deliberation. And what would you like to do?
I move that we use option two for CUP 01-20 and accept the approve the conditional use permit with conditions.
Randy, did you hear the motion out of Matt?
I did, yes.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
I would second that.
2 seconds.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call vote, please.
Neubauer.
Aye.
Winfrey.
Aye.
Brecky.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye. Motion carries. There you go, guys. You got your CUP. Okay.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Moving on to our next point is a discussion and consideration of Swanson Appeal of Director's Decision. Jerry.
Andy, are you still here?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
You can stay sitting.
Yeah.
Distance.
Okay.
Pardon me, sir. This is an appeal to the director's decision. We get our guidance from Story County Land Development Regulation 92.02 sub 1. And it states that the Board of Adjustment shall hear and decide appeals where it's alleged that there's an error of law in any order, requirement, decision, or determination made by the Planning and Development Director or his or her designee in the enforcement of the ordinance. The appeal was submitted March 6th of this year by Andrew Swanson. He resides at 64905 190th Street in Nevada. He submitted the appeal based on the decision that I made that a zoning permit could not be issued and an agricultural exemption could not be approved to place a railroad caboose on his property located at 19269 650th Avenue in Richland Township. This is a vicinity map. Subject property is a little over 3 miles northeast of the city of Nevada, just on 650th Avenue. Two provisions that we draw insight for from in the Story County Land Development Regulations. One deals with applicability, which is 85.05. The second provision really talks about enforcement, but it gets to, you know, generally what's permitted within a zoning district. The county's land development regulations are similar to other standard zoning ordinances in that we have established zoning districts. In this case, it's an A1 agricultural district. And in that district, it lists uses that are permitted. And once that use is established, then it indicates that an accessory use may also be possible. And then in some districts, you can also do what's referred to as a conditional use permit. It's a separate process. It involves an application fee, materials. The request is reviewed by staff at the county. They're reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission, who provides a recommendation, and ultimately the Board of Adjustment makes those decisions. But under 85.05, part of that states no development shall be undertaken without prior and proper approval or authorization pursuant to terms of the ordinance. When it comes to the enforcement mechanism under 9211, It is unlawful to locate, erect, move, construct, reconstruct, enlarge, change, maintain, or use any building, structure, or land in violation of any regulation in any or any provisions of the ordinance. A little bit of analysis. Again, that's a request to place a railroad caboose on private property in Richland Township. The zoning of the land, as I mentioned, or the parcel is A1 Agricultural District. It's about a 29-acre parcel. 25 acres is in row crop production. And there's about a 3.5-acre area, which is grassy, contains two existing accessory structures. And this is the location that Mr. Swanson intended to place the railroad caboose. The adjacent property is also zoned A1 Agricultural District. Mr. Swanson also owns the parcel to the north and west. There's about 5 single-family dwellings within about a half a mile distance of the property. Off to the east, a little over half a mile, is also the village of Fernald. And there's varying zoning districts within the village of Fernald, consisting of R1 Transitional Residential, A2 Agribusiness, and Commercial Light Industrial District. Comment that the railroad caboose is a manufactured item for the railroad industry. I think they were produced in the late 1800s, early 1900s, to provide service to the rail industry. Mr. Swanson has an opportunity to acquire a railroad caboose that's currently in the city of Boone, and it's owned and used by the Boone Convention and Visitors Bureau. And it's currently in a commercial location inside that city. I've got some information if you're interested on how it found its home at that location. I think it's been there since the early 90s. And then again, the decision was that based on our current ordinance, I could not issue a zoning permit and could not issue an agricultural exemption for the railroad caboose. Background timeline, there's a lot of information here. We posted the 2 letters that Mr. Swanson submitted, in addition to the 2 responses that I provided, in addition to photos of the railroad caboose that Mr. Swanson provided. Generally, it's a request from Mr. Swanson. He has a passion and interest in railroad cabooses. He has an opportunity to acquire one, and he would like to place it on his property. And basically, this information is the timeline on how I responded, provided information about what's permitted in an A1 district, provided information about the agricultural exemption, and I'll go through that in detail. This is a photo of the railroad caboose that he has an opportunity to acquire. And as I mentioned, it's inside the city of Boone. He's also interested in placing it on tracks. I think that I think through the second letter he was exploring other options, but I think his interest is to keep it intact. It's got the complete box frame wheels, and again, I think he would like to also place it on tracks. Some additional photos that shows the interior. I want to back up. The photo that shows the caboose, Mr. Swanson pointed out that there is electric service. You can see it on the left-hand side of the screen. They did run power to the inside. Again, the Boone Convention and Visitors Bureau staff have been using it, and there's electric service inside. So these are just some of the photos that shows the interior space. You can see that it was provided with electric service. This is a site photo of the approximate location for the railroad caboose. Again, this is somewhat the grassy area, and he intended to put it close to those 2 existing accessory buildings. Story County regulations, I did provide this information in the letters that I responded to Mr. Swanson on. A1 Agricultural District does talk about what principal permitted uses are, which include row crops and livestock production. It also includes single family dwelling, horse stables, and cemeteries. And then also, once the principal permitted use is established, you can also do an accessory use, which in this case includes accessory buildings, home businesses, non-commercial wind energy conversion systems, solar energy systems, and towers, and certain conditional uses, which is we go through the conditional use permit application submittal process. I also provided information about what the land development regulations for Story County hold for definitions for accessory structure, in addition to what an agricultural exemption is. For the most part, we cite the state law, which references the fact that any land, farmhouse, farm buildings, structures, if they're adapted for agricultural purposes, while they're used for agricultural purposes, they're exempt from local zoning. We also provided definition of buildings and structures. This is the state regulation. Again, it's virtually the same language as what is in the county Story County land development regulation. Which gets to the recommendation, and that is I'm asking for support from the Board of Adjustment that, you know, based on our current ordinance, I could not issue a zoning permit for a railroad caboose or issue an agricultural exemption. It doesn't fit within the current ordinance, and I would like to propose to assist Mr. Swanson. He also has the opportunity to submit a text amendment, but before he does that, there's an application, there's a fee. But before he does that, we can help him with doing some research to find out what is done in other cities, other counties, to see how this type of situation is handled. I think from my perspective, I've seen maybe not railroad cabooses, but other things like military equipment. It's often on like a public park setting, or it might be in a commercial setting. But you know, I think there's some possibilities in ways that we can address this. I can't guarantee that it would be supported by staff, but I'm willing to do some research to assist him, to help him with this next step, if the board supports the decision that I made. Be happy to answer your questions.
Questions, board?
Jerry, if this was placed inside a building, would it comply? If this was a machine shed type building of some kind?
I think my response is I couldn't issue a zoning permit for that. So whether it's inside a building or outside of a building, it's still on the property. And I think, you know, Mr. Swanson will have an opportunity to speak, but I think his intent is to keep it intact. He's got a great appreciation for railroad cabooses. He threw out some interest in maybe doing a museum. You know, maybe that might be an avenue that could be explored through like a conditional use permit process. And to be honest with you, I have not explored what other communities are doing. I can tell you some background information about how it got to where it's at, if the board's interested.
A question I've got, Jerry. He could file a conditional use permit, though. Request, couldn't he, or not?
Yeah, there's nothing that addresses this in Chapter 90 for the A1 Agricultural District. For like a museum use. So that's what I'm saying. Potentially that could be a text amendment.
Okay. Randy, did you hear all that?
Yeah, I think I
did. Okay.
Yeah, so the question I have is, maybe Jerry could
talk a little about. It appears that, you know, he was trying to convince that it was legit according to what 85.07 and 85.02 maybe, or 86.04, you know, what is allowed in an A1 agriculture district.
Is there a question?
It appears that Swanson has just, you know, put that out there, like, hey, this is where I came up with why it would be legit, and then he kind of, pasted that in on his. I'm just curious how jury responded to that reply that came back.
Right. Well, I address it, I think, in both the letters. It doesn't fit the definition of an accessory structure. It does not fit the definition of a building, nor of a structure.
Okay.
Any other questions, board?
Do you know if neighbors are concerned?
That I do not know.
Okay.
I can tell you for this process, we don't send notices to adjacent landowners. It's not a part of something that's required for us to do.
Okay.
I can tell you additional information. Since 2016, I've received over 90 requests for ag exemption. Most of those are for accessory buildings, accessory structures. There's a few that were for dwellings. And 96% of those were approved.
Okay.
Which I think gets to the intent of the language in the ordinance that addresses, you know, land, farmhouse, farm outbuildings, structures adapted for agricultural purpose, shall they exempt from local law. I don't think the intent includes railroad caboose.
And is that because there's not an agricultural purpose to the railroad? Is that the...
Say that again.
I'm sorry, is that because there's not an agricultural purpose to the railroad caboose?
I think Mr. Swanson was offering to use it to store, like, some plants of some sort.
But it wouldn't be its primary purpose.
But... Again, I mean, the intent of that language, and I can go back to it again.
Yeah, if you could go back to that slide, that'd be
good. Yeah, it talks about land, farmhouses, farm outbuildings, or other buildings or structures that are primarily adapted by reason of nature and area for use for agricultural purposes. Building means any structure having a roof supported by walls or columns designed or intended for enclosure, shelter, or housing of persons, animals, or chattels. Structure means a combination of materials to form construction for use. Occupancy, ornamentation, whether installed on or above or below the surface of land or water. And I think with that, I envision like materials being potentially brought to the site and formed. This is something that's complete. It was manufactured, for the railroad industry.
Okay. Any other questions? Mr. Swanson, your side of the story, please.
I did stop in. I don't know how much of the record do you have in front of you. Do you have, like, my appeal or challenge to the decision? I don't know how deep to dive, from the beginning. But if I was going to acquire the former caboose, I would want to be able to use it. I don't want to just, like, build a vault or something around it and whatever, so I wouldn't want to use it because it's not going to be free by any means. After I started looking into this, because the only thing that I heard the director say was that it was a railroad caboose. And, when I looked up the definition of Story County of a building, they want to be able to pretty much encompass everything. And so by that definition, it's a building. And I did offer several uses for it, because I would want to use it for something. I tried to find out, can I use it for a playhouse for my son if I build a house there, which was originally why I stopped. I was considering building a house there. I've got records that I can put in it. It's just to have something and not use it is not very, I'm not really interested in investing that kind of money to do that without using it. So I see a little difference of opinion. He keeps on saying that it's a caboose, but, if you look at Story County's definition of use means, number 77, use means the purpose or purposes for which land or a structure is designed. So maybe one could say it was originally designed for a railroad, but that's been a long time since they've been really in use on railroads. So the ones that are around apparently should have been scrapped or they've been adapted to other uses. Adapted, so built a structure is designed, arranged, or intended. So I'm not intended to use it on a railroad in my yard. You mentioned putting it on rail, and yes, that's the thing that most places where they've got some kind of a rail car, they put it on a what they call a section of track panel. So it's a couple rails with ties underneath. Otherwise, those solid steel wheels would pretty much just sink into the ground. So, or this is a part that maybe is getting cut off on a page somewhere else. Or this is in use. Or to which purpose land or a structure is occupied, maintained, leased, or operated. So the only choice that I was ever given was a railroad, and I tried to investigate other avenues, and what looking I did chose, in my opinion, and if I stored seed or if I sold seed out of it or stored supplies or records on an existing farmstead, that should fall under the agriculture exemption. It looks like if I've got an established farmstead that even if there's not a house there, I should be entitled to accessory structures there. So if I wanted a yard that I could build on sometime, or I could have a picnic on an existing farmstead. It doesn't, none of the denial of this that I can see under 8502, the scope and purpose, I can't see how denying this, if I'm going to use it for either existing farmstead, accessory building, i.e. playhouse, garden shed, whatever, or as an agricultural storage shed, I just don't see how that even comes close to falling under the scope or purpose, which allows this law. I struggle to understand which part of that I'm in violation of. If I was going to use it that way. Principal permitted uses, A1 agriculture. And I said, again, I don't know whether you have this in front of you, but having a building on an existing farmstead area, for that matter, anywhere in A1 district for farm uses, such as storage, office, and many other farm uses, is allowed. Agriculture is a permitted use. Having a building, not limited to, but a home business, playhouse, garden shed, doghouse, tool shed, or storage as an accessory structure is allowed on an existing farmstead or anywhere in A1 where a single family dwelling is located or allowed. It says it's allowed in parks and forest preserves, a building, and just keep referring to it as a railroad caboose, but that was the original use, but adapted is mentioned in your code, and adapt means to make something suitable for a new use or purpose, like repurposing. I struggle to see that it's only a railroad caboose. And I cited an example that if a railroad caboose, it was designed for that, is only a railroad caboose forever and ever, that the same thing could be true of a railroad. You really can't make a rail trail out of it down there in Cambridge. You really can't do that because it's only a railroad. You can't adapt it to a different use or purpose. So I see that, in my opinion, this is more of a matter of right versus wrong. I just don't see the authority there. I really don't see the authority because we're not looking at it by Story County's definitions of adapted for use. We're just looking at it under the first part, its original design, what it was for. But it's a building, because your definition says any structure having a roof supported by walls or columns designed or intended for enclosure, shelter, or housing of persons, animals, or chattels. I really struggle to see where the problem is, except for half of the definition of use must be deleted off of the page in the office of the director, and we're not looking at adaption either, adapting something. So.
Board, questions for Mr. Swanson? Mr. Swanson, if you could, just for the record, so that we've got it, you state your full name and your address there, so I've got it for the record, please.
Yes, Andrew Swanson at 64905 190th Street, Nevada.
Thank you.
Jerry, question on any kind of precedent here, one way or the other, with regard to, I know not railroad cabooses, but other, what I would classify as manufactured items, buses, RVs, if somebody has ever been denied or been accepted in terms of using that kind of, converting that to an accessory structure.
I've been here 4.5 years. I was at Polk County 17. I can't recall a time where something like this was requested. You know, I guess one thing to think about is if this item that's being requested and it's mostly intact and it looks like a railroad caboose, so if that is a building, then is a cable car a building? Would a jet airplane be a building? You know, would a ship be a building? You know, those are some things I think to think about. And again, our ordinances are set out, and they address specific things that you can do. Principal permitted, and once you have principal permitted uses, then you can entertain, obtaining permission to do an accessory use. Occasionally we get amendments. We took on and reviewed an amendment before YSS submitted for the Youth and Shelter Service conditional use permit back in 2017. They submitted an amendment so that's something that would be permitted in an A1 district before they actually submitted that conditional use permit to do the use that they are proposing. And then plus, over the last few years, we've looked at revisions for different things, agritourism uses. We adopted a new ordinance for transportation impact analysis so that we can, when we get subdivision plats, we're looking at, you know, what's the true impact of bringing 50 or 70 houses to an area? You know, what's the impact to the adjacent roads and intersections and that type of thing? So this is, you know, oftentimes how zoning progresses when new things are brought forward. It challenges you to figure out how to deal with it, what's the best way to deal with it. And ultimately, as I said, with a text amendment, it involves review of county staff. It's not going to be up to me. It's not going to be up to our staff. We provide input based on information that we receive. Largely things like this, we draw on experiences from other jurisdictions. That's a primary source. We'll, you know, we'll use APA, COSO, other avenues to collect information. We take input from the person who's requesting to make the change to the ordinance. Ultimately, it all goes to the Planning and Zoning Commission, where we have a public meeting, because this is the local law. They're acting on a local ordinance change, and then ultimately these kinds of things go to the Board of Supervisors, and we have a public hearing process to consider it and weigh all the consequences of it, and the general public is invited to provide input. That's a big part of what planning is all about, you know, what the community thinks about it. And as I said, this process that we're going through right now, we did not send notices. Our ordinance does not require us to send out notices. And this is the second one that I've received since I've been here in 4.5 years.
I guess I look at it from the standpoint that what was the original purpose of the regulation? And as much as I've got empathy for you, Mr. Swanson, I failed to see the agricultural purpose behind this. If there's a way that you can get it done, I'll support you with regard to getting the amendment through, that sort of thing. But the purpose of this agricultural exemption is for agriculture. And I guess I failed to see how the caboose fits in.
If you'd like to come and take a look at some of the seed storage and other storage that I have, I've grown a lot of different kinds of native grass and wildflowers. I actually had seeded a bunch, and I've actually talked to the County Conservation Board, and they're very proud of it. And, you know, I don't really want to plow that up when I die. I would like to have that preserved. But I can certainly show you that I've got more than enough uses to use something that I would spend, you know, for example, we just say $20,000 for. I would need to make use of that because I was raised under my father's school of economics, and that was, you know, do the $50 an hour jobs before the $5 an hour jobs. And I'm not going to spend that much money without making some kind of use out of it. I can certainly show you what can be stored there, but I think all of that is a moot point at this point anyhow, because if I'm not using it for an egg exemption or as a backyard accessory in an existing farmstead, then I may or may not be in violation. It's debatable whether I would be in violation because, you know, this, in my opinion, is not even real property. I know a person that had a portable shed on skids, and he said he checked, and, you know, that was something that wasn't going to be taxable because it was considered like personal property, instead of a building where you put down a foundation. You mentioned something about, you know, would a ship be allowed? And you're going to deny me because this was a railroad caboose 30 years ago and you're worried about a ship. My recommendation would be that if you're worried about that, that if you think that you've made a mistake by your definition of building, that you should consider changing your definition of a building. I don't know whether any shipping container would be another thing to consider. Is there a difference between real property, which is attached to the soil by a foundation or posted in the ground or something like that? Is there a difference between a shipping container, for example? A shipping container was designed to go on a ship. I think I've seen on the news that some people will even build a house out of them. I don't really want to do that because I expect it to be cold. But, you know, does anybody use something like that for storage? If it's not allowed, if it still looks like a shipping container, I mean, your definition may be what the whole problems are here. You know, you're defining a building pretty generally. That caboose, former caboose, whatever we want to call it, is by definition of Story County simply a building. If there's a problem with that definition, then, you know, I maybe get a free pass and you change your definition. You talked about scope and purpose of the law. I struggle to find the scope and purpose. It sounds like it was mostly, you know, for division of property. It does, we're supposed to provide for a balance between the regulation authority of the government. So I got here, the land development regulation ordinance 8502, scope and purpose. I don't see that challenging what a building is anywhere in there. Preserve the availability of agriculture land. This is, again, something that's not a concrete foundation. It's not a great big hog pit that's going underneath this former caboose. Lessen congestion in the street or hallway. Secure safety from fire, flood, panic, and other dangers. Promote health and general welfare. Well, we certainly want to do that. Consider the protection of soil from wind and water erosion. You know, the grassy area that you're referring to, if I planted a new farmstead windbreak, I planted some native prairie flowers in the backyard. I saw 8 hand pheasants over there this year. I hadn't seen more than one for probably the last 10 years. I don't think this is going to help to prevent the overcrowding of land or to avoid undue concentration of population. I don't think it's going to, you know, do anything to adversely promote the conservation of energy resources. Same thing, promote reasonable access to solar energy, facilitate adequate provision of transportation water. Look at your scope and purpose. Look at your definition of building. Look at the definition of ag exemptions where you don't even have any authority. Found that out with, you know, a room full of people at a, you know, agricultural for some hog facilities last year. You know, look at your own regulations and determine whether a shipping container or a storage building on skids is fall under your jurisdiction. If you've got problems, then possibly change them. But I just don't see. I fail to see, and I'm willing to listen. That's why. My repeated attempts was to try to get an understanding, something more than that this was simply a railroad caboose, just like the Milwaukee Road going between Slater and Cambridge and Maxwell Collins is simply a railroad. No, it's not a railroad anymore. So anyhow, I'm open to, you know, try to discuss this or answer any more questions that anybody might have, but it sounds like that we're not able to adapt and to recognize that there's not a railroad down there anymore, that there's not these cabooses. This was a caboose that Story County probably had as many pass through of this type as any county in Iowa because, you know, there was 2 Chicago Northwestern lines. But,
you know, Mr. Swanson, I may agree with you on some of those issues. But from our standpoint as the Board of Adjustment here, we've got the law that's in front of us, and we look at it with what we have. I would suggest on some of those, you maybe there's a different channel you go through if you want to appeal some of those as far as the definitions.
And wouldn't a textual amendment address those sort of definitions?
It could potentially. Mr. Swenson, is your goal to keep this item intact?
Yes, it should be kept intact, just as if I bought a storage building at Menards, taking the door off, or a shipping container, I'm not keeping it intact, taking the door off the caboose, taking the wheels off the caboose, that would be a pointless thing to dismantle in my opinion. Somebody mentioned the law, and I'd like to have more specifics because it sounded like the board was bound by the law, but I'd like to see that. Part of my problem is that I'm not seeing under the scope and purpose. I'm not seeing under your own definitions. I'm not seeing under primary permitted uses in A1 and accessory uses. I'm not seeing where any of this that I've discussed is in violation of any of it. So I'd like specifically to hear that.
So, Jerry, where do we go from here? I guess I understand we may look at this and agree to disagree. So I guess the question comes down to, Jerry, what would you like out of the board at this point in time?
I'm asking the Board of Adjustment to support the decision that I made that a zoning permit could not be issued and an agricultural exemption could not be supported for this item, which is being referred to as a railroad caboose. Mr. Swenson does have an opportunity to submit a text amendment. And like I mentioned, before he submits that application and the fee, I would be willing to commit time and resources to try to get some information to figure out what other counties are doing with regard to this, what other cities are doing, not only in this area, but in the Midwest and beyond, to try to get better information, again, as the caller being addressed. I can draw on my past experiences. I've seen different things like military equipment. Usually it's in a park setting, or it might even be, like I've seen things at Camp Dodge, close to the road right away, or it's more of a museum type setting, which usually those are typically in like a commercial zoned area. This is in a rural Richland township, where it's primarily A1 agricultural district. So if the intent is to keep, to place it here, then we've got to try to explore, what the remedies are to see if that's something that's possible.
So I guess in looking at it, from my standpoint, I still come back to the purpose. And like I said, you may have some good points, but I think with the way the law is written, I would have to support Jerry in his decision. I would also, again, encourage Jerry to find a way to do it, because I really think it's a neat idea for you if you can get it done, but we have to adhere to the law.
Can somebody point out the violation? What are we adhering to? Something other than a building, then.
I'm adhering
to the definition in the law of a building. That's what you're doing.
I'm adhering to 85.08 definitions of land development regulations, 8508 Story County Land Development, agricultural exemptions except to the extent required to implement 335.37 Code of Iowa. No regulations adopted under the ordinance apply to land, farmhouses, farm buildings, or other buildings and structures that are primarily adopted for the reason of nature and area for the use of agricultural purposes. That's the way I'm looking at it.
What would you be doing if it's not a building, then, and adapted means to change, so we're changing this to a use for agriculture, or I don't hear, I only hear the farm exemption part of it. What about as an accessory? Is a playhouse allowed? Is a treehouse allowed? Are you even able to regulate that in an A1 on an existing farmstead?
Well, that may be something you need to discuss with a legal mind. I'm just going by what the regulations say. Rest of the board?
I just say I understand your argument that things adapt and things change, but from my perspective, I don't see the rail car falling within the definition of building or structure, and so that's where my concern comes from in terms of being in compliance with the law. I just don't see that.
I'll add to that, I agree that I don't think it meets that, and I worry about the precedent we would set by expanding the definition and what that would allow. So absent some sort of change to the law, some sort of amendment that would set boundaries for what we mean, then I worry that allowing this exception or broadening our definition of building to include structures like the caboose could be potentially problematic for what people would then be able to argue could be on their land.
So if you're proposing to change your definition in the code of building, then I think that would be a good idea.
No, that's not what we're proposing, sir.
No, we're proposing, well, I think we need a motion to support if that's the way the board wants to go. At this point in time, we're proposing to support Jerry, but I think the text amendment idea that Jerry has put forth may give you an opportunity to get the door open so you can get the job done. But at this point in time, the way we're in Taper Dam, I think the board is going to support our director.
I'll go ahead and make a motion. I move to support the director's decision in declining the application for the permit. I don't know.
If
you can put up the slide.
Sure, I'm sorry.
So I move to support the director's decision to not issue a zoning permit or approve an agricultural exemption to Mr. Swanson to place the railroad caboose on the property located at 19269 650th Avenue.
And I second.
Motion and second. Roll call vote.
Winfrey.
Aye.
Neubauer.
Aye.
Brecky.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye. Like I said, Mr. Swanson, I would say if you can go that text, see if you can get a text amendment on it, because I do like your idea, and I've seen a caboose over there in Boone. It's a neat structure. I like history, so I can understand that, but it doesn't fit within the law, and the laws have been set up to protect a lot of the things that we've got. So, sorry.
Thank you for your time.
You bet. Okay, moving on the agenda. Board or staff comments?
I don't have a lot. I just want to thank everybody for participating in tonight's meeting. We're all adjusting to what's going on with the coronavirus. As of today, the admin building is closed to the general public, as is the animal control building, conservation building, and the engineering secondary roads on the north side of town. I think the only building that's somewhat open would be like the Justice Center, so that they can conduct the various aspects of their business. I think it's very likely that if we have a Board of Adjustment meeting, we're collecting information now on what other counties are doing with regard to public meetings. And it's very likely, I can't promise that it will be in a different format, but it's very likely going to be different than how we're doing it tonight. As soon as a decision is made about a different avenue to meet, we'll definitely get that information out to everybody so that you're aware. I don't know if you have any questions for me with regard to what's going on.
I have a question, Jared.
Yes.
So I was wondering, our Cornerstone Church staff, I mean, we're experimenting with other things as well because of the virus, but we've actually had some meetings with Google Hangouts. Is that something you've looked into, or...?
There's quite a few different ones, Randy, that we're looking at. I'm just trying to figure out what's going to be the most convenient for everyone is probably the biggest thing between Google Hangout. And we've also, because internally we use Skype a lot, so that's another option.
Conference calling.
Is it Skype.
Skype.
Yeah. Both of those allow for like screen sharing, which would then allow us to you'd see the presentation if we're not all doing it this way. So there are some options, and prior as early as we can let you know on that, we would want to let you know so we can even just a test, just to make sure we're all good before then doing it live, obviously,
will help us. So we're trying to figure that out.
Yeah, so the only thing that feels a little hollow on my end, not being actually present, is I'm not seeing your slides and stuff.
Right, so the Google...
I've got all the information, I've read through it, I've got three screens going in my office, so I've got all of his information, but, you know, the actual, like, staff presentation is, you just kind of have to imagine what's going on, so that's why I was saying Google Hangouts, so you could have a picture of that, that we could see if we actually end up being at home or whatever.
Right, and the other thing is, worst case scenario is we'd send the PowerPoints out prior to, and then as we're going through, it'd just be, hey, I'm on slide, whatever, and then just start next slide, just so then we can be all on the same page. But ideally, we wouldn't have to do that. It's kind of old school. We make it so that only you just have to pay attention. You don't have to worry about clicking through and stuff, so.
No, perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Nothing else? Then I move we adjourn.
Thank you, everybody.